We began in the area of Paul's teaching, where he said, look, we as the people of God now are those who live in the heart and the joy of who God is. We have been recreated, as David pointed out. In him we live and move and have our being. That's who we are. Now that talks to us not about obeying a set of rules or following a set of pattern expectations. That was what the Jewish religion was about. That is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about in him we live and move and have our being. We have an intimate relationship with the God who created us. That's where it starts. It starts with this kind of intimacy. And we need to be able to say to ourselves, what does that mean as we look to the future? Well, then we looked at the notion that it's not about us heading off and doing our own thing. It's not about any person in the church saying, follow me. It's not about the church saying, well, let's look at Lasting Hope Faith Church over there. And they're successful, so let's do what they do. It's not about that at all. It's about knowing that God is the builder and that we are the tradespeople. We have to do the work of the church, of course, but we are not the ones who judge the direction of the church or the purpose of the church or where we're supposed to be. That gives us a certain security. If that's the case, then we're involved in intimacy with the Lord of the universe, and we are aware of the fact that he is the one who draws up the plans. He shows us. Well, what about us? Well, then we had a look at John 15, and John 15 says to us, what you've got to do is keep plugged into the vine. What you've got to do is to make sure that you are allowing the vine keeper to prune you, chop off bits when he feels like it, what's appropriate, go through the various pains of being in a relationship with this one who created the universe and in ways that none of us will ever understand, has the capacity to speak to each one of us, understanding how many numbers of hairs we've got on our head and being aware of every thought process of our lives for the whole of creation. Stay in tune with that one. Well, the question is, you see, how do we do that? How do we do that? Now, I have to say, the model from my teenage years, I think, doesn't work. The model from my teenage years at church, and most of you will identify with this, I think, was first of all, you went to church on Sunday. Nothing else happened on Sunday. You had to wear a suit and a tie. You had to wear your best clothes all day. If you were a particularly revolutionary teenager, you would wear white socks and sit up the back in rebellion. But there were other things that you had to do. You had to make sure you went to church every Sunday. You had to make sure you didn't smoke. You had to make sure you didn't drink. And for the fellas, you had to make sure you didn't go out with naughty ladies. And those were the characteristics. If you turned up to church every Sunday, you were safe. Because the real thing was whether you would go to heaven. That's what Christianity was about. And if you did these things, if you obeyed the rules, you would go to heaven. Now, I have to say, I think that, frankly, is a load of rubbish. It has nothing to do with our faith. It's an expectation that Christianity would carry on some of the laws of the Jewish faith, and by them we would be able to be in control of our own faith by doing the things we're supposed to do. It has nothing to do with that. So the question is, what do we do? We've heard about one side of the covenantal relationship. We've heard about the side of God himself. We've understood who God is. Well, partly. We've understood he brings to us all of the characteristics of the leader of the universe. We understand that he is king. What is it that we need to do? Well, we can't obey the rules that we've put put in place, like wearing a suit to church, it's a waste of time. It's also very hot. But my uncle wouldn't go to church. He would not go to church unless he was dressed in his suit. He said if I fronted up before the Queen of England, I'd wear a suit. So when I front up to God, I front up in a suit. I'm not sure of the logic of that, but there you go. What are we supposed to do? What of the future? What are we supposed to do? How do we go into the future? Let's go to the next one. Not that one, the next one. Where have you been? Where have we been in 2021? I'd like to change that slightly. If we had started this at the beginning of 20, what would you have thought the answer should be? Because 2021 turned out to be vastly different to anything we would have ever dreamed of in terms of the whole of the atmosphere of coronavirus. You guys went through a very difficult time in 2021 on another basis. What would you have said at the beginning of those years? What would you have said at the beginning of 20 and 21? What would you say now at the beginning of 22? Let's move on. What does the Bible say about how we go into the future? Let's have a look. Paul, in speaking to the Romans, says this to say, and I have to say to you that what I've done is not so much to use the NIV translation, but I'm using this one. Because in this set of verses, this guy actually picks up in a very, very nice explanation of what we are supposed to do. Paul explains it to the Romans. This is the basis. This is the basis of where we go into the future. It starts off with this. Here's what I want to say to you. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Don't ever think that you can go it alone. You will never, ever be able to go it alone. It will be a matter of God helping you every step of the way. Don't believe that in this covenantal relationship you can ever do this. Because in this faith, in this relationship we have with God, is that. We can't do that and pretend that we're still a people of God. Whatever you do, don't leave God out of it. Whatever you do, spend time talking to God, because this covenantal relationship, which takes you into the future, involves this. Intimacy. I think I mentioned last week, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, many millions have known. Let's move on. Now what he says to us, Paul, is I want you to take your everyday ordinary life. You don't have to be special. You don't have to put on a front. You don't have to pretend that you're more important than you are or more capable than you are. I want you to take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Just who you are. Take this bit at the beginning of a day and say to the Lord, Lord, I give you back what you've given me, and I just want to be an offering for you. This is what this side of the covenant needs to do. We know what God is doing. What do we need to do? Well, the first thing is, don't leave God out of the process, but also be prepared to say, I'm not going to pretend anymore. I don't believe that I've got my sins covered anymore. I can expose them to the Lord and have him treat me appropriately. I can get him to heal me of those things. I can come and be honest with him because he knows my heart and my mind. He knows everything about me. So I get into this relationship with this living God and I say to him, Lord, I want to be an offering before you. I want to give myself to you. I want to give you back. I want to learn that the gifts you've given to me by your Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that you've given to me are your unique pattern for me, and they are the unique blessing of the way I should go forward. I plan to allow those things to take me into the future. Next one. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. So even in this, it's not about this contributing. Even in this, it's not about this human being prepared to say, Lord, let's do this. I want your wisdom about that, but I want you to back me up on this. We've decided about this, Lord. Give us your blessing. Churches do that quite often. They put their heads together and they figure out the future and they say to the Lord, here it is, we lay it before you. Allow us to know your blessing. Paul says to the Romans, it's not like that. It's this process of embracing what God has for you. That can be painful. That can be difficult. That can be costly, as we discovered last week by talking about John 15. But our mindset, as the people of God, if we want to know what the future holds for us into the future, our mindset says, I will do and be whatever you want me to be. I will not be concerned about being a hero. I will let you take things away from me and transfer me to another field. I will not be prepared to challenge anything you say or do. My spirit will associate with your spirit, and I will not try and pull my spirit apart from your spirit. And I will allow your spirit, which binds me into this covenant with you, to be the one who guides, who keeps, who shows, who loves, who is me inside of me. Now, this is what we need to do. Not about rules. Remember, Jesus fulfilled the law. Not about laws. Laws don't come into it with the Christian faith. It's a relationship, and you respond to the relationship. You're obedient to the relationship. Let's look on. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit it into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Now, this is a tough ask, especially in our Western world, but I presume in other worlds as well. Because in our world, it's all about you. It's all about you. You just get whatever you want, and we're here to help you. We're here to make you wealthy. We're here to provide just the mattress you need to go to sleep, and it's all about you. No, it's not about me making money by selling you things. We can get conned into this by believing the values of our culture, the patterns of our culture, the behaviours of our culture are sufficient for us to live. The Bible wants to say to us, we need to live within the culture of which we're a part. But we need to understand that we measure the values of that culture against the values of our master. And when they are similar and appropriate, we can simply move ahead and do what we need to do. But when the values of our culture clash with the characteristics of the kingdom that we have read about in the New Testament, we need to be those who stand aside. We need to be those who have our values straight in our head and understand what it means to be those who follow Jesus. I'm sorry I can't do that. I'm sorry I don't want to do that. Quietly and gently saying what I believe I ought to be. Now, I have to say to you, I think it's at that point when many people in our world get to see what a Christian really is. Because there a Christian is saying, I'm prepared to pay the price. I will take on all of the negativity that you pile upon me, save face in front of my master and keep his patterns in my life. And people will sometimes look at us and say, what are you doing? I'll give you an example. When I was fit and younger, long, long time ago, I was a high school teacher and we had a volleyball team that used to play on Monday night, and this particular Monday night we had to play at 10 o'clock, would you believe? And on the way home, that team had a habit of dropping into a pub and having a drink, one drink, and then driving on home. And I thought to myself, I can't honestly have a drink and drive. I don't think I can do it. And so when everybody else ordered whatever they ordered, I ordered orange juice. It had nothing to do with teetotalism or whatever. It had to do with an orange juice. And so I drank an orange juice. Next week, two people drank orange juice. And by the time we'd finished, all but one in the team was drinking orange juice. Now, I'm not a hero for doing that. I believe that was the right thing to do. And I'm not talking about whether you should drink alcohol or not. I'm talking about whether you should drive having had a drink at 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night. If we are prepared to stand for the things of the kingdom, whatever the price, whatever the cost, then our stance will always affect the world. We will not know about it. But the Lord will be able to work through us. We need to be prepared to say, I live within the culture, I'm happy within the culture, but I need to, for you to know that this is one kingdom. The kingdom in which I live is another kingdom. It's the kingdom of the living God. And occasionally we're going to have the conflict of the kingdoms, where this kingdom says you can do this, you can do what you like. You can go, this kingdom says, no, you can't. And we as the people of God live in the kingdom of God and obey the rules of the kingdom of God. They're not laws. They are just descriptions of the character and show the consequences if we don't follow those characteristics. That's what the whole New Testament is about. It's about the kingdom of God, about what it's like to live in the kingdom. No rules. It's about you respond to the master, you live with the master, you think with the master, and if you do that, these are the characteristics. If you choose not to do that, well, there are certain characteristics that will flow. There are always consequences. Paul says to the Romans, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. That's what we've been saying, isn't it, this? This is the intimacy. You want to know a way forward for the church? I'll be looking with very great interest, I have to say. That's it. That's it. Look at what God is saying. Look at what God is doing. Live in your world, but obey the characteristics of the kingdom. Next one, please. When you're changed from the inside out, you don't know it. When you've got changes happening on the inside of you, you don't know they're going on. But every time we in our spirits make the choice of being consistent with the Master, he modifies us. Every time our spirit does that with the Spirit of Jesus, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. We reveal more and more in our being the character of God, because we open up more and more to this really strong bind and he lives through us. You'll be changed from the inside out. Now, where have I spoken so far about making deliberate choices to do this and to do this and to obey that? I haven't, have I? Because it's not like that. It's about a living relationship, a dynamic living relationship with God himself. Intimacy, so deep. Much, much deeper than ever you have felt for anyone you have loved. It's a strange thing. I can't imagine loving anybody more than my wife. Well, my grandchildren, perhaps. Two little boys, they make you love them, don't they? You know what I'm saying. Next one. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Leave it sit tight for a while. Ponder it and think to yourself, am I going to do this or not? Leads in a different direction. If you look up any of the prophets, and Elijah is my favourite, one of the things that Elijah learns first in his preparation is obedience. I think I mentioned this before, haven't I? One of the things Elijah learns is about obedience. Elijah, I want you to go into the valley, into the Kereth Ravine, and stay there. There's going to be a drought. I want you to go down in there and live. Well, that's just plain silly. The brook will dry up and I won't have anything to drink and then I won't have anything to eat. How long do you expect me to stay there anyway? Elijah, just do as you're told. I reckon after about the first 6 weeks, Elijah would have been saying to himself, how long is this going to go for? How long do I have to sit here like this? How long do I have to talk to this Lord who tells me to do the most outrageous thing? Just do as you're told, Elijah. It's going to last another 2.5 years. What? What are you going to do to me in that 2.5, 3 years' time? I'm going to change you spiritually so that you're equipped for the particular job I have for you. And one of these days, you're going to stand on the mountain and you're going to call down fire from heaven. One of these days, God is going to call upon you to do the very thing he has prepared you for. One of these days, God is going to call upon this church to do and to be all that God has prepared for it to be. And you need to be ready. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Reach out to do what he wants you to do. Next. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you, which is what I've just been saying. Our society reduces us to selfishness. Our society reduces us to personal focus and it's all about me. Our society wants us to believe that we are the most important person on the face of the earth and all of the things around us are for us. You can do whatever you like. If you believe that, that's absolutely fine. I believe this, you believe that, so-and-so believes something. Absolutely fine. No problems at all. Just go and do whatever you want to do. Go and be wherever you want to be. Treat each other whatever way you want. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Now that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen into the future. Because on this side of the covenantal relationship is the living God of the universe, and he's going to call you deeper and deeper and deeper into the covenant, which sees his spirit working with your spirit to produce maturity, to produce wisdom, to produce integrity, to have you operate always on the basis of love, to have you operate always on the basis of mercy. To have you understand that for every person around you, you are responsible to give them grace because that's what the Master does. His kingdom is about love. His kingdom will never ever see you take advantage of somebody. And as you begin to do more and more and more of this, it begins to change you. Thank you. I'm speaking to you out of a deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Paul says, I started the church in Rome. I wanted to come up and see you guys, and now I'm in prison. But I need you to understand that in this huge city of Rome, this little letter, this little gospel in this little jail, not read by anybody. In Rome, far more important things to do in Rome, all sorts of dissertations to read from various people. This letter, Paul's comment to the Romans, became the very foundational basis as he explored the possibilities that come out of our faith in Jesus Christ. This became the basis of the lifestyle of individuals around the world. I've been dead scared that mine's going to go off like that. Let's move on. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it to you. Thinking that we can reflect back to God, thinking that we can say to God, this is what I have to offer you. Look what I've achieved. Look how important I am. Look at the money I've made. Don't you understand that your money is given to you in trust by God, and you are nothing more than caretakers. Nothing more. He'll ask you what you did with it. Whatever gifts you have, he's going to say to you, what did you do? What did you do with those? Well, we need to understand that God brings it all to us. We think that we've got this, and that this side of the equation is the equivalent size and the equivalent competence and the equivalent love and the equivalent to this side. And it's not true. This side is so huge that this side could be totally swamped if this side felt it was a good idea, and this side never does. This side comes to us and says, come to me, those of you who are carrying burdens, come to me, give them to me, take upon yourself my burdens, my relationship, and they'll never be too hard for you. Never be too hard for you. They will be hard at times. They'll be very difficult. Not talking about a lifestyle that leads us on into absolute joy and loveliness. Sometimes there's a lot of pain. But Paul says to the Romans, and he says to us, God brings it all to you. Now, whatever you might want for this church, can I say to you that first of all, in him you live, move and have your being. It's about intimacy. Secondly, it's about him as the master. He's the builder and he will build. He'll provide the plans. If you're an electrician, he'll show you where to put all of the power points and where to put all of the cables. And you've got to stay in him. You've got to remain in the vine. And when you do those things and recognise that the covenantal relationship is like that, you will begin to see the fruit in his time, in his way, and for his purpose. Do you agree with me? Amen.